Welcome back to The Advisor, where we turn world-class experience into practical results. I'm your host, Stacey Chalemi, and today we're talking about sales minus the fluff with Luke Jorgensen. Luke went from the high school teacher to one of the top 1% door-to-door solo performance, personally guiding teams of over 132 million in revenue through his smooth selling framework. Now he coaches everyone from startup to founders to seasoned reps, proving his selling isn't just for salespeople. It's a universal skill that helps pitch ideas, launch brands, and move others into action. Now, before we jump in, I want to just ask you a little about yourself. Now, you describe your door-to-door work as equal roller coaster and your master class. You talked about there was like a this was a big change in your life. So going from door-to-door to master class. Can you tell us a little about that? But let's start by explaining how you began and how it all started.
Yeah, happy to be here, Stacy. Thanks for having me. So I was a teacher and a coach, high school teacher and a coach, and saw an opportunity to go during the summer only as like a little summer job. And I decided to just make the big jump. And I saw people making good money, and I tried it for a couple of weeks and realized, I think I can probably do this. And my thought at the time was like, what are the average people doing? I was like, I bet I can be average at this. And so, you start where you start, right? And so made the jump, and we moved across the country, moved out to Maryland, started selling door to door. And as a whole, I mean, it is a roller coaster, right? That ride is such a fun ride, but just like a roller coaster, it has its ups and it has its downs, right? And that literally could be from one door to the next door. So anyone in sales knows that roller coaster. Often we sold solar energy, so we often said the called it the solar coaster. And so going from not knowing anything to by the end, being a top 1% in that industry. I'm proud of that, but also had a lot of help, a lot of mentors, a lot of good trainings along the way, and I definitely didn't do it by myself because if it was by myself, I would have never gotten there.
It's like we mentioned earlier before the show, it's so important to have coaches. People don't realize the importance of having a good coach. It could, having a coach in your life could, it could help you. When it comes to make or break you, it could help, definitely help make you, because it's something, a lot of people, we don't see certain things, or we just don't know how to do certain things. We're good at one part, but we're not good at the next part. And that happens all the time. Yeah, I have people on the show all the time, and they're great at one thing, but they need a little help in the other areas, and there's nothing wrong with having one or even more than one coach. It's a great thing, and it helps you really excel to become better at what you do. Now, what's your all-time craziest door? I want to know before we start your door knocking encounter, and what did it teach you about human psychology?
Oh, craziest. I don't know. I have so many, but I mean, it's for like, you got the cat lady that has like, 20 cats inside her house, and you're like in there, like trying not to like choke on, all the f cat fumes, to like, like three dogs licking your legs, as you're trying to sell and teach. I mean, it's just, you just never knew what you're gonna get. But honestly, like 99% of the people are like regular down to earth. Like they're just like, just like all of us, right? They're just trying to do their best, or and it's a really, really interesting thing because in that world, and why I think I'm really good at sales, because in that world, you got to go from literally knocking on someone's door to all of a sudden, within like 30 seconds, now they're listening to you. And from listening to you, now you're like sitting at their kitchen table and they weren't even thinking about what you're presenting. They had like, they were doing whatever they were doing. They were sweeping, cleaning, watching TV, whatever, right? To go from that, like, get your attention to now listen and now being invested and involved and like, oh, wow, this is awesome, to choosing to, to get a product in their home that's like, a fairly decent size, decision, right? It's not just like getting, a random little product at your house, right? It's not like selling someone a bar of soap or anything like that, right? And so that process taught me a lot about people, been in a lot of situations, but overall, people are generally, if you treat people the right way, they reciprocate. And yeah, there's always that one, that one a-hole, I call it, that one a-hole in the neighborhood, but the rest of them are good. And so, yeah, it taught me a lot about human psychology, what works, what doesn't. And through the process of trial and error, through trainings, and that's what we're trying to do, right? When someone needs help with sales, they're like, look, in anything, right? If you want to help in anything, like get someone that's kind of been there, done that, and tried all the stuff. They've done all the mistakes. You talk about coaching, and I think everyone needs a coach because a coach is just going to accelerate your learning curve, and it's going to shorten that learning curve to success. So you're going to get to success a lot quicker. And because I had coaches, people who were training me, I was able to have success way quicker than if I would have just gone, done it on my own, right? So that's a big theme. I think everyone needs a coach.
Oh, I agree totally. Now, how did your background and education shape the way that you turn complex sales concepts into aha moments in everyday for everyday people?
Yeah, I looked at sales, and I guess it was my background, but it also just worked. I felt like if I could teach people something, they valued that, and they not only did they appreciate it, but also like gain their trust. It checks a bunch of boxes. But when you can teach someone something new, you're the expert. You gain their trust. Like they see value in you and what you're talking about. So I just try to sell in a way that. And like my courses, what we call smooth selling, right? We try to make things smooth for you and not just you, like not just being a smooth talker. I'm not talking about that, but smooth selling where it's easy for the other person to get what you're talking about. So whenever there's confusion in sales, the answer is going to be no. So if you can dumb things down, we talked about, talking on a fifth grade level, right? And so talking on a little bit lower level doesn't mean you talk down to people, but you just simplify it for people and teach people. It checks a lot of boxes. And the people out there look at your product and business and like think about, okay, how can I make this simple to someone that maybe is not coming from where I'm coming from? How can I make this so simple that they can understand it, right? Because then there's clarity, then you have a chance. You have a chance to connect. You have a chance for them to be on your level. They have a chance to understand. If they don't get what you're talking about, the answer is going to be no. Always.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true. Now, give us the elevator pitch. Like, what was the framework, the core structure, and why has it driven more than 132 million in sales?
Yeah, so the structure. It's pretty simple but powerful. So you have a hook, right? When you start, and this could be like if your audience is out there, like try to apply this to maybe what your product or service is, because it literally works for everything. Like it literally could work if you're walking into to your boss's, you want to pitch an idea to your boss. This literally will work. This will work if you're in a boardroom with multi-billion dollar companies, like a framework to a new direction that you want to take the company. So the hook is just getting people's attention to see what you're talking about. And if it's in a meeting setup, that's a little bit easier. If it's someone that's like, obviously on a door-to-door, it's pretty important. So that hook. Then you go with the problem. So stating the problem, actually talking about the problem, actually getting them to talk about the problem. For them to maybe they need to identify that there is a problem, talk about the problem and then solution. That's not different, right? So problem to solution, that's not really that groundbreaking. Some of the other stuff is. So the way you talk about the solution, the way you ask questions, that's pretty groundbreaking. And then the takeaway. So for instance, instead of trying to, when you sell, a lot of times people, we want to give. And we want to give this to you, sell you, sell you, sell you. But when you go the other way of like, well, we want to have this be a good fit. Maybe this might not work. I don't want to work with you. Maybe like that could be a real thing. Like I got to see if this is a good fit for me. Maybe it's something like maybe you got to qualify for it. Maybe there's something that's like, well, we can only handle a certain amount of clients, you know, whatever that is, that takeaway, and then a transition. So that's the basic, getting the sale moving to the next step. And I see people a lot talk about, they go, this is the usual stuff. They skip the hook, they skip the problem, and they go to the solution. And then they spend all day long talking about the solution and the features. So solution, features, solution, features, and they skip all those other things. But if you ask them if you did it, they'll say, "Oh yeah, I do that." But when they really do it, they typically just skip right to the solution and the benefits and the features, and skip all those other aspects.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true. Now you're vocal about ditch and sale hacks and that don't work. What's one popular tip that you'd retire forever and proven the alternative with what to teach instead?
Oh, a big thing, I think, is just more of a mentality thing. I mean, in sales, there's so many ways you can blow it. I mean, there's more ways to do it wrong than there is right, for sure. I mean, there's a thousand ways to do it wrong. That's for sure. I think one big thing is, and it happened to me when I had the transition of getting, and this is a lot of times in business too, we look at what's in it for me. And you know, and maybe it's a salesperson that are saying, "Hey, you know, if I get this sale, I'm going to make X amount of commission, right? Or, you know, I'm going to get this client because, you know, it's going to help me do XYZ, right?" But when you go the other way and you put yourself in the other person's shoes, that's a big mind shift of what's in it for them. And if you really do have a product or service or something to value to add, you should be proud of that. And the fact when you can get in their shoes and say, "Hey, this is something that's going to benefit them and why it's important to them." And then if it doesn't fit them, then fine, like move on. Like not everything fits every person, right?
Very
But I
true.
think that shift, when I, so what, for instance, when I went and sold solar energy, at first I spent probably about 6 months just selling for me. Like I just was, I mean, you're new, you're trying to grind, you're trying to, like, you know, make a living. I mean, honestly, you're just trying to live, right? Make a living and make the numbers and, you know, all that good stuff, right? But when I realized that, oh my gosh, I talked to these people that had the solar on their home for a while and they liked it and they benefited and they were telling other people about it, that like light bulb went off, like, oh my gosh, this is like something I can get behind. When I could get behind it, then all of a sudden my sales skyrocketed. And now I was coming at it because I didn't really know the psychology behind that at the time, but I just did it. And but the psychology is basically when people can see that you're not just in it for themselves, there's an energy. People, we're really good at reading things, right? We're really good. We might not understand what's going on, but we can understand when people are lying to us. We can understand when people are in it for themselves, right? We know these things. So getting that other person's shoes where they can say, like, this is going to pay you because of this. And if that's what you're looking for, then great. If not, then no big deal either.
Oh,
So.
yeah, 100%. That's so true. That's so true. And you know, the way you come off, the energy you have, the way, you know, if you're passionate about something, it's going to show, you know. And you know, you can't, you know, people pick up on that. People pick up on that for sure. Now, when it comes to door to door, you know, here in a you hear a lot. What are some of the rituals or ways that you've worked with clients that were resilient, that didn't want to do it, or they had a lot of questions? You know, how did you handle people like that? You know, because sometimes it's very hard to get your message across to people. You know, and how are you able to communicate and really get positive responses from individuals?
Yeah, I think you got to be realistic with if you are in sales, if you're in business in general, like you got to be realistic. Like you're not going to get a lot of yeses. Like you get more no's than you get yeses. Like that's period. Like end of story. Like try to move on from that, right? A little bit. So you got to be that rejection piece was a, I mean, it was big to get over that hump, I'm pretty proud of, because that's a big hump that a lot of people just don't ever get over.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? Sometimes people will say, "Oh my gosh, I want to have this many clients. Let's just say, hey, I want to have 100. I'm going to make 100 cells, and they're like, they talk to two people. You're like, well, two people said no. It's like, well, you didn't even. What if two people said yes? You're still not to your 100 client goal. Like, so you got to be realistic with the numbers. You got to know that that's just going to happen, and a lot of times people, like, if you're beginning, like, there's going to be a certain amount of people out there that just say yes because they're just ready, like they're ready to go. And so just by going through the numbers, you'll get some yeses just by grinding, just by like getting out there, just by being bold, like you'll get the numbers you want. But then you got to take it to another level where you got to get good. And when you can get good and skilled and coached, then all of a sudden those maybes become no's. And that's really when I train my team. It's like, hey, you'll get a certain amount of sales just by getting out there in your neighborhood and just by going, like you'll have success just by showing up, like no doubt. And just by being, being out there and being working hard. But we want to get you to a point where a lot of those no's or maybes, then they become the yeses. And then there's going to be a certain amount of people that doesn't matter who you are or what you say, they're a no. Like, doesn't matter, right? But it's that middle 60% that you're trying to really get converted. And the good sales people and the good business who know how to sell, they get more of those people than not.
Now your training emphasizes on using stories to tell. What ingredients make a short story instantly credible to a skeptical prospect?
I think there's a lot of ways you can use stories. One of my favorite is using other people as the example and connecting, thinking about this client is, or this customer is at this spot. And do you know someone that was also at that spot? Maybe it's a spot in their mentality, maybe it's a physical spot, whatever it is. And then bring them up and talk about them and talk about their transformation and talk about, hey, I get it. Like, or maybe that was you that you can relate to also. So relating other people, yourself, to kind of what they're going through and where they've been, and then the transformation of where they've gone from where they're at to where they want to get to. And using other people and as example, that's a great way to do it. I always like to use stories in objections. And if you're selling a product, you should know your objections. Like, you should not be surprised at like your common objections, right? If you've sold a little bit and like what people are bringing up. So you shouldn't be surprised by that. And you should have some stories to kind of go along with that because you can give facts all day long, but there's only a few personalities that really like dealing facts, 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 facts. Most of the rest of the world deal in stories. So
I agree with you. You do have that type A personalities that like those figures and statistics, but a lot of people really want to hear the stories. They want to relate to you. They want to feel that bond, that connection. And when you've accomplished that, you're one step closer to succeeding, I think, in sales.
yeah, and it's a common thing. They call it the transformation story, right? So the idea of, person like you was at this point, they transformed, they changed, they did, they chose the product, they chose the service, whatever, and now they're over here. And so that's a common thing. Stories is big, and it could be just a quick story, like almost like one-liner stories. They don't have to be drawn out. They don't have to be like your life story. They can be short, they can be long, as long as they're getting, as long as just like a storybook, right? They have a point to the story. That, I mean, it's as simple as that. Like, you need to have a moral, a point to that story, but they can be really quick. They can be a little bit longer. And having some stories with your objections, I think, is a good tip for people. But having a story along with your product and your transformation, I think I like those two probably the most.
Now I agree with you. Now you teach teams to leverage AI. What's one practical way solopreneurs can use AI this week to boost out their outreach without sounding too robotic?
Yeah, so man, I'm new to the space of AI, but I am diving in hard. And like a lot of people, they're trying to figure it out. And I think the big thing here is you need to treat AI like, you're bossing that AI around.
Yeah.
So it's not, it's only going to spit out what you're kind of feeding it, and what you, and you want to think, okay, I'm the boss of you, AI. This is what I want you to do, and this
Yeah.
is what I want you to do for me. And the more information you can give it, think of it, the AI as like a little bit of a client in a way, because the more I can teach the AI about the situation, the more I can teach him about what I'm doing, the goals we want, then we can kind of get the results we want. Because if you go, just a little practice, if you go into AI and just ask it something and do like a one sentence ask, do a one sentence ask, then with the same topic, ask it in about 4 or 5 sentences with the same topic, but a little more detail that you're giving it, and watch the responses. And
Yeah.
you'll see they're night and day different.
Right. It's so true. It's a great tool. It also makes, people don't realize it, but you could create strategies for your business. You could create so many different things. It's not just to write a letter. It really pulls out a lot of information and can help you even with your sales pitch, the way you look at things, with the clients you're dealing with, what types, what clients are going to react a certain way, maybe focus on certain things with, different types of clients, and it could help you, on a week-to-week basis. With your sales so it's a great way to, get an idea about, I think, about your business, but not, it's not meant to be like copy paste, it's to help you, so it's really you who are selling the product, I think, but it can kind of guide you and give you the knowledge you need so you can, I think, approach the person better and have, a more positive experience.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, for instance, if you go to it and you ask it questions and you're like, well, and then just respond like you would a person, honestly. Like, say you went to your friend and said, hey, I'm thinking about this, or, what do you think about this? And they kind of give you feedback, and you're just going to take that feedback as like the gospel, and like it's total truth. Not necessarily, right? So, same thing with AI. You can question it. You can say, hey, come up, like, you can just like a person, you can go back at it and say, hey, like, well, this is not what I'm really thinking. I mean, I get what you're saying, but there's this situation that I didn't really talk to you about at the beginning. What do you think now? Just as you would a friend, just a back and forth conversation. It's a great way to brainstorm. But at the end of the day, you're the person, you're the human. Like, you're legitimately, you're smarter than AI. Like, okay, you can't do processing, but like these high thinking level skills that all the situations that they might not understand. So using it as a tool, as yeah, it's more than just helping you write emails. I mean, you can really use it in a lot of ways in your business, with clients. Let's just say you, for instance, let's say you have a client that you're going to go to, and you could literally talk to AI and say, hey, I'm going to meet a client. I'm going to talk about this product. And here's the client's personality. If you already know the client, maybe a little bit. They're like this, they're like this, they're like this, they're like this. Please help me with some ideas of how to approach this person. It'll give you some good ideas. And maybe two of those you use, and maybe the other two that you like throw out, right? But there's a lot you can do with AI, for sure. And help you. Remember, you're the boss, AI is your employee. I think that.
Exactly. I like that. That's a great way of looking at that. Now, for managers listening, how does strong sales culture reduce a turnover and amplify performance?
Sales culture is one of the things I lucked out. I lucked out, and I got into an organization that just valued culture. So the company I worked for, Vivint Solar at the time, they really valued culture, and I just lucked out. But the specific teams, so you have the company and then specific teams and regions. The specific team I went to, they were all about culture. They did things together. They like were friends outside of work. It was like literally coming from because I was a coach of a high school baseball and basketball coach. So I was like, this is cool because this literally is like teams, like coaching teams where people are friends. They're more in it than just like a you don't just show up and then go home. It's like a real camaraderie, a real team, a real culture. And so throughout my career, and I went to other offices, but I try to take that to kind of the next level. And then by the end, we were kind of one of those teams where other teams looked at us for like how they're doing things. And because we had a strong culture, just to give you an idea, we had a guy that was just terrible at sales. It's fine. Like it's not, it's fine. Some people are terrible at sales. It's fine. But when you're in a full sales, like 100% commission job, that's tough being bad at that. So we told him, we're like, hey, you're not cut out for this. Like, you need to go, like, you're like, what are you doing for money? You need to go, like, get another job. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we're just like, we love you, but like, you need to go. Like, this is best for you to like move on. You're right. And so he said, well, I know I've been thinking that for a while, but I really like love the team. Like, he literally was willing to not work or not make any money, but be around other people who lifted him up, who saw value in him, who had camaraderie, and so that type of thing. And I think I've seen it. I think it's really, really unique what we did. And there's a lot of times that we used to say people will come for the money, but stay for the culture. They'll come for the paycheck, but if you're losing a lot of people, if you know you don't have high satisfaction with your employees, it's probably a culture thing.
That's so true. Now, can you share a quick culture building exercise leaders can run with at their next meeting?
Yeah, 100%. So if you one core thing that we like to do is get team buy-in. So think to yourself, how can I get my team to buy in? When they have a voice, when their voice is actually heard, right? And they feel that their voice is heard, they will have more buy-in. When they have more buy-in, they will be more connected to the team, to the goals, right? So that's a big thing is how can I get my team to have more buy-in? And doing that with hearing their voice. I just see a lot where like people say, oh yeah, we're a team, we're a team, we're a team, but they're not doing the things that actually make themselves a team. Here's a one way you can test your culture. Ask around your team, hey, who in the office or who at the work or who what, you know, in our organization, who do you spend time with outside of work? And if most of your people say no one, something is wrong with your culture. Because we had teams where people weekly were hanging out together, were doing things together, spouses, all these things, and we did our own, you know, activities and that type of thing. But that's one way to check, like, hey, like who are you spending time with outside of work? And if they look at you like, that's a crazy thought, your culture is not good. It's not good. And you'll
That's a
always
good.
have those people where, you know, they're not in a million years will they hang out together just because they're so different. That's fine. But if you have a decent sized organization, if you have 20 people that your organization works with and no one's hanging outside of work outside of that, that's a problem.
No, 100%. I agree with you. Now, what are some of the biggest myths about sales?
The biggest miss, there's a lot. I'll speak to maybe the non-salesperson first, and maybe if you give me a chance, I'll speak to like the salesperson. So the non-salesperson, the biggest myth is sales is hard and I'm not a salesman. If you have a product service, you need to communicate value. If you have a spouse, if you have like a partner, if you're an employee, you need to communicate value in some way. You need sales. The biggest misconception is they say, oh, I'm not in sales. Wow, you already lost the game to someone who knows that life is about sales and communicating value, right? So to those people, and it's not your typical like sales is not stop thinking about the used car salesman like that's not sales. Sales is just being able to communicate to someone else why they should see things the way that you see them and how seeing what you see would benefit them. That's basically in a nutshell, like sales. So you can learn sales and you're not going to be like, you can sleep at night and learn how to do it good. Like you can still be a good person. People can still like you. like all those good things, right? And still be good at sales. To like salespeople, they need to learn from top people. And I think sometimes we, as salespeople, we sometimes, hey, I know it all, I'm good, I'm doing fine. Like there's that mentality, like find someone that is better than you and learn from them. And I think that's key. And so I've taken that into my shift in my business. Like, hey, I need to learn from people that have done that and been there and are doing it and that are better at that. And I'm just gonna learn and just do what they tell me to. And I'm just gonna trust them.
I like that. No, that's so true. You know, some of the biggest, successes I had is when I learned from people who were above me, and w knew how to do it better than me. And if they gave me advice, I didn't take it as an insult. It was constructive criticism and, learning from other people how they do things and then getting advice from people who've already been there. I think those two things are really powerful tools.
Yeah, like for instance, so I don't have a podcast, Stacey, but like if I had a podcast and I knew you had a podcast, I would ask you like some questions, right? You've been down the road, like you're ahead of me. And I wouldn't just like, oh, no, I know it better. Like I would take those things and be, oh, okay, like I didn't look at it that way. Because sometimes we have our perspective and we our perspective is so small and we think we know. Like that's when I first went and sold, I thought like, oh, like I can just like wing it and do it how I want, and I failed. And then I humbled myself, be like, oh, okay, so this is. And then you're like, I don't even know why they're saying that, but I'll just say it because they say it. And then you later like, oh, I get why they're saying that. Like I now I get it, right? So sometimes you just got to trust the person that's like a little bit ahead of you and down the road a little bit, or that's been there and done that a little bit better. So,
Oh, I agree 100%. Now, what should every is there a specific book or some resource that every communicator should either read or go to learn how to be better in communicating with a possible client or consumer?
yeah, there's a lot of really good sales books. I mean, there is. Like, sales is not, there's so many good things out there. And so, just being a student of the game, I think is a big thing. There's not, I would say the people skills is, it's getting to be like us that have good people skills. Like, I'm putting myself in that. Like, I think we're going to be very unique here in about 10, 15 years. I don't know. But I think there's just like, I mean, I go to the, like, go eat at like the waiter. I'm like, wow, like, what happened to the people skills? Like, right? Like, you would make way more money if you just like improved your people skills a little bit because of your tips, right? So anything that I think people can do with people skills is really going to move the needle. You know, there's lots of good resources out there. Just find someone that you kind of connect with, I would say. And you know, of course we have our course that we offer, you know, the smooth selling framework, and we offer that. I'm, you know, obviously partial to that, but I think it keeps sales super simple for a lot of different scenarios, and people can follow and have really good success.
Oh, I definitely agree. I know. I also wanted to ask you, as a salesperson, is there any metrics that salespeople should focus on? Is there anything that they should keep an eye on when they're trying to work on improving themselves and improving their sales?
Yeah, you always want to have the numbers, right? I mean, we were really good at following our numbers and knowing like our numbers. So it depends on kind of what you're in, but think of let's just say you're doing phone sales, just to kind of keep it simple, like you know, the numbers of like how many people like answered the phone, and then how many people were you able to maybe get to like 30 seconds or 10 seconds with. And then how many people were you able to like have a full conversation? And then those like percentages, right? Down to like a final sell. So whatever it is that your step-by-step process is, you want to have that process down and those numbers down, because you're always going to have a lot of people in the beginning who kind of hear the pitch, so to speak, and you'll have less to actually get the sell, right? And if you can kind of hone in, so for instance, when I first started, I was really good at what they call creating an account. Basically, getting someone's name and number, and I'd talk to them about solar energy and like basically getting the process started with them. I was really good at that, but I was really bad at getting them all the way to saying, "Oh yeah, I want solar on my home."
Right.
So I knew there was a gap in between there, and so then I could adjust that. But if you don't know the gaps, then and you don't know the numbers, then you can't really hone in on where the improvement should be. So I would
Right.
say any numbers as far as your process with the cell, you should know specific numbers, and then it kind of eases the burden on you because let's say, hey, I need to talk to 100 people before I get a cell.
Yeah.
And then it kind of eases, probably not going to be 100 people, but let's just say it's 20 people before I get a cell. So I need to talk to 20 people before I get a cell. So now I'm like, okay, I've talked to five and got five no's. I'm not really worried. I'm not even to 20 yet.
Yeah.
Then I get to 20 and I'm like, oh, okay, I haven't gotten a cell. And then I'm like, oh, well, I'm sure it's around the corner because I already got to 20 and usually I get a cell before now. So it kind
Yeah.
of eases the burden off you a little bit and like the pressure a little bit. So
Yeah.
that's probably a little bit more of a tip for cell specific people.
I like that a lot. Now, where should people start if they want to explore your coaching programs or smooth sailing, video training? What could they do, to contact you and get some, information about the services that you offer?
Yeah, so my website is just lukejorgensen.com. That's my website. The coaching that the way I talk about my introductory coaching is like basically you're buying me lunch to have this introductory. It's super inexpensive. It's $47, like, and it's re like really really good value. Like I know I'm of course it's my course, but it's I believe me, it's you're gonna get way more value out of that $47 than a lot of places. So that's at smoothselling.co. So smoothselling.co. You can go basically buy me lunch, so to speak, and you get an hour of really good training. If you like that, we can kind of do more. But that's the best way, those two places.
I love it. I love it. And so people can go directly on your website for the course and for the consultation.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Yep. And then you can hang, if you want to connect with me on Instagram, I'm on there. I'm actively giving out because in my business it was like, hey, we hoarded the secrets, right? It's you taught your team and that's it. Like it's a very cutthroat competitive business. You literally cut your sold and did your secrets to your team and trained your team. And
Yeah.
literally it's like, oh no, like even like other under other teams, other industries, you're like, no, I'm not giving the good stuff. I've opened the doors, I'm giving all the good stuff now. So I'm
Yeah.
helping people and my mentality shift where the more people I can help, the better off I'll be, they'll be.
I love it. I love it. Now, from our conversation today, if you had to emphasize on some important factors, what are some things you'd like to emphasize to the listeners that they could take away with?
Well, every business needs sales, right? And so is your whatever your business is, maybe you're an entrepreneur, maybe you're a real business, brick and mortar, maybe you're an online business, maybe your business is you're the brand, you're the business. To improve your sales is going to take you to the next level, right? Whatever it is, whatever value that you're offering, to be able to communicate that a little bit better. And so I look at people like, how much money are you throwing down the drain by not being good at something that you probably could get good at and without a ton of work, without like, I'm not talking about like, it's not thousands and thousands of hours. You don't got to knock on doors for 10 years like I did. You can just get some really, really basic tips and pretty quickly improve
Right.
and just have more business and more productivity and more money in your pocket.
Right. I love it. Now, can you tell everybody before we go one more time where they can find you?
Yeah, so they can go to my website, lukejorgensen.com, or they can find me on Instagram at coach_LukeJ.
Thank you so much. This has been awesome. I really enjoyed having you on the show. I think that, people, there's so many people out there that need help in sales, and I've met so many people, and like I mentioned earlier in the show, so many people have great services and products, and they just need a little fine tuning in the sales area, and just a couple of little things here and there, they could be superstars and really, excel their business and elevate to the next level. So I'm so glad that you came on the show today to share this knowledge, and I think that everybody needs a coach, and I'm, so glad that you were able to share some of your wisdom and, share some knowledge with people so they could use it to benefit themselves. And, hopefully people will come and get your knowledge, firsthand so they can grow their businesses the way they've always wanted to. So I want to thank you once again for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Stacey. I appreciate it. They were great questions. Like, they were spot on. I loved it. So, had a great time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and you have a great day.
Thanks.